to make a defense for this new movement called Christianity. And part of our argument was simply this. He goes, you know, everybody's mad at the Christians and they're persecuting Christians, but look at what the Christians do. They love one another. They share with one another. They take care of people who aren't even Christians. We talk about the pandemic and the COVID and all that sort of thing. At one point in time in history, there was a great plague in Rome. And most of the Gentiles got out of Dodge. They all left. They went to their country estates. They left the city. You know who stayed behind and took care of the sick? It was the Christians. So he made the argument, said, look at what Christians are and what they do and judge them according to that. And brothers and sisters, I believe that God does that too. He looks at what we do and how we act. So if you're walking around in suffering and all that with your head hanging down and your face all drawn, that's not what God wants. Go to the Word. Consider your fate and act accordingly. So he exhorts us to exercise patience and perseverance in the face of suffering. We must exercise patience and not retaliate. Oppression comes from a lot of different sources. People of power, family members, evil men. But true patience is a virtue of Christ that is available only to believers. We do not obtain patience by our own strength. We do not obtain endurance on our own. Patience comes from our faith. Patience is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. So to wrap this up, let me kind of tie a ribbon around this. Let us be patient in anticipation of the coming Christ. Let's not grumble when we suffer. Let's not repay evil for evil or retaliate against those who give us trouble. Let us follow the example of God's servants. Let us consider the mercy and compassion of God. We must speak the truth into the world. We must speak the truth into the world about Christ. Our final verse in James, when I started putting this together, I couldn't quite figure out how it fit with patience and suffering, but I think I found a way. Our final verse shows how high the bar is about speaking the truth. And James wrapped up this section by saying this. But above all, my brothers, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, so that you may not fall under condemnation. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. So as I thought about this, I'm thinking, let your yes be yes. Part of my background is in Christian apologetics. If you don't know what that means, that's okay. Nobody does. Christian apologetics is defending the faith, you know. And one of the things you learn early on is that way too many Christians, when they're pressed about their faith, back down. How can you believe in a Bible that's written 2,000 years ago? Way too many Christians are... Do you really believe that a man who died came back to life? You've all heard this stuff. But way too many Christians' response to that is, I believe it or not, there are actually churches that respond to that particular one. Do you really believe this man came back from the dead? There are actually churches that in most ways are regular Christian churches, where they will say that, I don't know whether he actually came back to life or not, but that doesn't really matter. What matters is that you follow his teaching. Excuse me? Didn't Paul say that if Christ is not risen, your faith is in vain and you are still in your sins? You can't cherry pick the word of God. You let your yes be your yes. If this is what God says, then you have to say, this is what I believe. And if you're uncomfortable with being that direct, if somebody has an issue with your faith or what you believe, you say, well, I believe this because Christ said it. If you have an issue with that, then you need to take it up with him. Send them to the Word of God. Let your yes be your yes. What you believe, you have to stand your ground on. And it says, let your no be your no. This could be another entire sermon, but there are things going on in our culture that we as Christians need to say no to. No, that's not right. No, that's not appropriate. And it falls under a whole big category of people who will say things like, well, my Jesus would be okay with that. And another person says, well, my Jesus would be okay with that. And my Jesus will be okay with that. Listen, folks, there's only one Jesus. And he was pretty clear on the yeses and nos. So if you're going to be a Christian, part of enduring and patience and suffering is being able to stand up and let your yes be your yes and your no be your no. So that's how I saw this all fit together. You know, I was looking at the calendar, and while my official hire date is in September, it was actually June when I started preaching here and never left. So realistically, this month is my sixth year here in the church. And if I have not been clear about it up until now, if you have been with me a long time and go back and listen to a lot of things that I said, the one thing that the drumbeat that I have tried to put in over and over and over again, that Christians, you need to be a certain kind of Christian. You need to be the kind of Christian that Scripture calls for. You are to be a disciple of Christ. You are not to be a pew sitter. You are supposed to be about the business that God set you to be about. And all I've tried, if I have made that clear enough, to be my theme, if you will. If I ever retire, I've heard of this retirement thing, something like you don't work anymore. I don't know. If I ever retire and somebody asks me, well, what was your thing at that church?